I like cute clothes. I like having stylish outfits, and I hate shopping. Armoire makes getting dressed easier. Armoire is a clothing rental membership option. And Janet and I recently have both tried it out, and you guys, it is so much fun. You go to their website, you get to take a little quick style quiz, takes 5 minutes, and then you get presented a list of beautiful clothing, pictures, wonderful clothes that you can pick out and get delivered to your house for you to try and wear in the comfort of your own home without going out and determine what looks cute. Put together outfits without investing a ton of money. Right now, our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off your first month. That is up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/onboys. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/onboys to get 50% off your first month and never have to worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. This is On Boys Parenting Podcast. We are your hosts, Jennifer L.W. Fink and Janet Allison.
We know the frustration continues with, yep, you guessed it, online school. Or is it hybrid? Are they at school part of the time and then expected to work online? It's crazy, and it's been crazy making for the past year. Our guest today has a different approach to education. I think you're really going to enjoy this interview. One of the things she says is education and passion are one in the same. And isn't that exactly what we want for our boys? We will be talking with education expert Tiffany Soria after this message from our podcast sponsors.
If you worry about your boys' nutrition and sleep and stress, consider adding Hiya Health vitamins to your daily routine. These chewable vitamins contain 15 essential vitamins and minerals known to support a healthy immune system. Use our discount code ONBOYS to get 50% off your first order. Go to HiyaHealth.com and enter discount code ONBOYS to save 50%. Janet, sometimes we need help. Sometimes listening to On Boys and visiting our Facebook groups is just not enough. We are still confused and overwhelmed by a parenting situation. And I know that you offer individualized support and answers for families through your breakthrough sessions. You are a family coach. How can people connect with you and take advantage of your wisdom in order to move on to more peaceful family relationships?
You know, it is so hard to do this alone, and nobody ever imagined parenting during a pandemic. And even without a pandemic, parenting was pretty darn challenging. So as a family coach for over 20 years, I've been helping hundreds and hundreds of families just kind of right the ship, get back to connection and harmony, because parenting does not have to be hard.
Or miserable.
So you can connect with me via a breakthrough session, and that is a complimentary call. We get on the phone, we talk about where you are, where you want to go, and how to get you there. You can schedule that with me at boysalive.as, S as in Sam, .me/breakthrough-session. That's a big old link, and we will post that in the show notes. I look forward to connecting with you. We are both here in support of your families, in support of your peace in your parenting, and we want you to know that you are not alone. And now back to On Boys. Education and passion are one in the same, says our guest today. At least we hope that for our children. We want them to find what they truly love and be excited to expand their learning based on that discovery.
That's a lofty ideal. The reality really is the difficulty of getting your son up for online school again, and the frustration of finding out that he has missing assignments again. You know, when they only really seem to love video games or skateboards or things that may not be in our definition of a passionate interest, it's hard for us to see how that interest is going to help them in their education and their future. We know school has changed forever this past year, but even before the pandemic, our guest, through her novel education group, has been sharing her unique and effective at-home teaching methods, which she started doing in college with her peers. Welcome, Tiffany Soria.
Hi.
Great to have you. And a little shout out.
Thanks for
having me. Yeah. And a little shout out for Portland natives here.
Yes. Portland. Portland. I miss it. I miss it all the time.
Yeah. So you really discovered this passion for teaching in college. And I mean, you didn't go to college to be a teacher, right?
No, I actually never saw myself as a teacher. Even after college, I didn't see myself as a teacher. Even sometimes now, I don't see myself as a teacher. the thing was, is that I think, and this continues to be the problem, and I think this is continues to sort of be my sort of, novel's underlying mission is to sort of break the mold of what people, the box that people put teachers in. I know that was one big reason why I didn't see myself as a teacher. I always kind of saw myself as like a constant student or maybe even like a scholar of some sort, but, because I always really loved school, and school was always, I did go through I actually did really poorly in school my first year of college. But then when I discovered like what worked well for me, it came really easily to me. So when I saw other students struggle, for me, I felt like I could see what they were struggling in, and I like knew how to fix it. And I wanted to teach them the skill set on how to be a good student. And then those skills are applicable towards everything.
Right. So, now, every single one of our listeners wants to know how do I do that?
Right.
My son is doing terribly in school. What do I do differently?
Well, I mean, it's different now, and there's so many things. I mean, the number one thing that continues to be the problem is just intrinsic motivation. I was really motivated to become a better student. A lot of my students are motivated to become better students, and so that's half the battle. If they don't have the motivation, then really what your goal is as a tutor and as an educator in general is to spark the motivation. Whether that be, and trust me, it's very few and far between that you find a student who actually wants to be motivated in school. Like, my passion is to get straight A's. Like, you don't really get that very often.
And especially not from boys.
Instead, you end up with my 15-year-old whose motivation was, I want to get this 700 snowmobile fixed up and back out on the trails. That's where his focus has been for the last more than a year. He did it, Janet, by the way.
Oh, yay.
He did it.
Which is great. I think that this is, I think these are the conversations that we need to be having. Less, how do I get my son to put away the snow, was it like a snowmobile?
It was a snowmobile,
yeah.
This kid lives in the garage.
Yeah, but that's great. I mean, and that's way better than, that passions like that should really be encouraged rather than sort of like put away the snowmobile and come and do 3 more hours of schoolwork. I mean, that will really discourage just like general passion, in my opinion anyways, will affect how they grow up and how they end up sort of functioning as adults.
And the reality is, Tiffany, well, first I want to say that, so you have this homeschooling agency that works with child actors and families that travel and, you know, kind of maybe some kids that are motivated, are able to be out of the system And I'm a family coach and I work with families. I just talked to one last night and I thought, oh, I'm going to talk to Tiffany about this. You know, he's been home for a year. He did okay in school before. Now he's home. Mom has been the tutor and the teacher for this year, not going well at all. He has struggled. He doesn't care about school. He just wants to play video games. But this last term, he did some projects and his grade was up and then he took the test. And the test counts for 70% of his grade.
Right.
And it's, and the mom and the dad feel like their hands are tied because they are in the system. They can't homeschool. They're, you know, they're locked into this mold, which Jen and I have had this conversation many times, that school does not fit many boys, some girls, but more boys, I'd say, than girls. And it's like, you know, we're backed into a corner. And what are the options?
Right. So when I started Novel back in 2014, the thing is too, is it's actually really interesting with COVID, this conversation has become a lot more relevant, but we've been doing distance learning and homeschooling for 7 years now. So the atmosphere wasn't, we didn't have to like pivot so much as a lot of other families and a lot of businesses had to do. We have sort of always been doing distance learning, always familiar with Zoom and how to, you know, motivate someone through a screen. And also encourage them to step out of the box continually is something that we've always done. But when I started the company, you know, one of the issues I felt like I really wanted to address was exactly the system. It started out working with teenagers in the entertainment industry, and their options were, and they were working all the time, right? They were sort of whatever, shooting their photo shoots or whatever they're doing, starting their businesses. And their options were choose my business or fail out of school. Mm-hmm. In my eyes, I was like, why do you have to choose to either run your business and then you have to literally drop out of high school? And so I was like, why can't they be one and the same? A, B, why can't they foster each other? C, why can't we create a system that's able to support teenagers in their sort of entrepreneurial endeavors or their hobbies or their outside passions and give students a little bit more control over what they're learning? I think that's like a huge thing. I feel like students feel like completely out of control right now. I feel like they out of control in general. Mm-hmm. And I feel like right now, even more so, they feel out of control because they're frankly forced to sit down in Zoom for like 6 to 7 hours a day. Yeah. And no one wants to do that. I mean, even someone with the 10 out of 10 attention span, no one wants, like, doesn't even want to do that. That's boring.
Jan, and so, I don't want to do it. You don't want to do it.
Yeah. I mean, no one wants to do it. So yeah, it's the idea of understanding that there is an alternative option. And so we've created a model where school, you know, sit down seat time is about 15 hours a week. So 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. Usually with that, of course, there's, you know, a little bit of homework because we still like, it's not even so much homework for the idea of completing things. It's just the idea of creating accountability in students' lives still. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, look, you still have to do these things. Just like every other person, there's things that you got to do. Sometimes you don't want to do. And so it's creating that sense of responsibility and accountability, but at the same time, making them understand that the things that you want to do outside of school aren't bad. And if you just get these things done efficiently, then you can spend the other half of your day doing the things that you love and quite frankly might really service you really well in your future. So,
you know, that idea, the things that you want to do outside of school aren't bad, is a drum that I have been beating for a very long time, especially on behalf of boys.
Right.
Whose interests are so often not included in the curriculum, not welcome in schools. You know, Janet, you've heard stories too of young boys doing a writing assignment and they write about a battle or somebody has a gun. And not only, you know, are you going to get in trouble, now you have to do the assignment over, you're going to go see the psychologist and I'm going to call your parents. Like,
yeah,
you know, give up.
Right.
And so one of the things that I think is so key for all parents And Janet, I'm going to say this for your family as well. Like, so many of us adults, our idea is that teacher and school, that's learning, that's education. Mm-hmm. Scrap that. That's right. One way of learning. Your kid can learn through life and can follow interest and can do other things. And I know it seems so hard when people are like, but all he wants to do is play video games. Mm-hmm. One, video games might be his passion.
Right. No, I mean, it's true.
Janet's heard me talk about, I have a brother who became a video game designer. That's what he did. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case for everybody. But the other thing is that sometimes kids need time away and out of this system and being forced. And maybe they're using the video games as a kind of a anxiety reliever. I mean, it's so much easier.
Yeah, like a coping, like a coping mechanism.
And sometimes you need to be just out of the system completely for a while so you can heal enough to even figure out what else you might want to spend your time doing. Is that something that you have seen with any of your clients, Tiffany?
Yeah, I almost feel like the coping, let's say, for example, if they are using the video games as a coping mechanism, I would even argue that if the school was less rigid and demanding and time consuming, that you would see the video game usage go down if that were, if the actual school day were less like anxiety inducing and all that. I mean, it's the same way with any of our coping mechanisms. If other parts of our lives just felt a little bit less demanding or a little bit more flexible, then of course our other coping mechanisms would also go down and that would balance out. We worked with a lot of students where school in general just gave them so much anxiety or, you know, and it's not just the like the working celebrity clients or the traveling families that we work with. We work with lots of kids with severe dyslexia, with kids who are just painfully shy, detrimentally shy to the point where they don't speak up in class. So of course the teachers think that they don't care. Mm-hmm. Then they get graded down in participation points because the idea of speaking up in class just gives them so much anxiety. So they're actually marked down because of mm-hmm. just who they are as people.
Right.
Look, you don't need to be the class president to be successful in your life. And I mean, let's get real. It's like most kids are not the class president and they're not mm-hmm. homecoming queen and they're not star of the football team and they're not starting the star of the debate club. And they don't want to be. And that's totally, I didn't want to be. I really didn't. I very much shied away from all of that. I didn't like it. It just made me uncomfortable. I didn't like to be in the spotlight. And that's okay. And it's okay if you want to be, if you're an introvert and you want to be by yourself building a drone or something like that, that's absolutely mm-hmm. fine. And so like those things I feel like need to just be highlighted a little bit more. And working with students that are more like that has really shown us at Novel that we should be fostering those things. And those kids just need just as much attention as the other ones. And not, it's not even attention. It's just, they should just be encouraged to be themselves. And then we really see them flourish. I mean, we had a girl who wanted to be a fashion designer. There was no options for fashion in school. And she was really shy. She decided to do homeschool. I mean, she was able to build a portfolio, go to fashion school, you know, things like that. And it works the same with boys with their passions, especially because with boys, their passions are usually really hands-on. We like mm-hmm. to build, it's like sensory driven. Yeah. Sorry. It's okay. There are no sensory driven things going on, especially right now.
Yeah. It's really hard to do sensory via Zoom.
Yeah. Well, and my hope is, and I'm guessing you share this with me maybe, is that this time period, this year of education having to be delivered differently, of teachers having to teach differently, has, I hope, given the overall system a new vision of how education can be. And I do think part of it, again, is the challenge of if it's not if it's not able to be delivered to the masses, you know, it's really hard to have a school of 1,000 kids and individualize their education.
Of course.
That's kind of the option of parents who have the money that can afford to hire tutors doesn't have to work and she can, mom or dad,
privately
she can facilitate that education. So I think that's, we're still in that push pull of how do we accommodate? Yeah. We want our kids to, of course, explore their passions, but parents are exhausted. I have had a mom was talking to her yesterday. She's like, yeah, I laid out this craft for her 5-year-old. So he would have something to do when he got up at 6 o'clock in the morning, but that's exhausting. Like, how do I, facilitate the activity? Their parents are so done.
This episode is sponsored by ByHeart.
Babies need to eat. And whether you breastfeed or bottle feed, use formula, combine all of the above, you need options. We wanted to let you know about ByHeart baby formula. ByHeart has a patented protein blend that gets the closest to breast milk. It includes 2 of the most abundant proteins in breast milk. And ByHeart actually ran a clinical trial comparing their formula to a leading infant formula and proved that babies on ByHeart have softer poops, less spit up, and easier digestion. ByHeart is also the only US-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk. So if you need baby formula for your baby, consider ByHeart. New customers can get 10% off your first order by using code ONBOYS at ByHeart.com. That's BYHEART.com/podcast. And it is 10% off your first order. ByHeart.com/podcast. This is a limited time offer and additional terms and conditions may apply. We all know that vitamins can help fill nutritional gaps in our diet. But a lot of us don't like to take vitamins because we don't like swallowing pills. How do you feel about that, Janet?
There's some days that I look at my vitamins and go, yeah, I should take those. I'll do it later. But I'll tell you what's changed. I have gotten Easy Melt vitamins. I have the D3 and I have the B12s and a multivitamin. And I just pop them in my mouth and they dissolve and I don't have to think about swallowing a vitamin.
Yeah, and you don't necessarily need water either to have on hand to get this big vitamin now.
Yeah, no, and they taste good and they're sugar-free. They melt quickly. The reason they melt is because of plants, not chemicals.
Ah, plant-based nutrition. For a limited time only, you can receive a free 3-month supply of Easy Melt vitamin D3 with your first purchase. To claim your free D3, visit try.easymelt.com/onboys. That's try.easymelt.com/onboys.
They're so done. I know. I think that number one, I know this is so much easier said than done, but I just always like to encourage it all the time when I get the opportunity to reach parents directly. It's to, we consider ourselves like student advocates. We don't like the idea of punishing students or giving them ultimatums and things like that. And I like to always encourage parents and students to speak up when there is an issue with a teacher. Try and ask questions about what other options there are, because you're right. Not every family has the resources to hire a tutor, to homeschool their children, to sit down with their kids every day and do a craft. It's just not the reality. So I think the best thing that you can do is to try and reach out to maybe your school, people in your community. Ask the questions. Don't accept that test that's worth 70% of your grade as the end all be all. And if it so happens that, you know, you don't get very much of a response, then is when I just got to say, in the long run, encourage your child that it's okay that they didn't get an A on that test at 70% of their grade, and nurture what they're doing outside of school, because I guarantee you that what they're doing outside of school will play a much larger role than that test that's for 70% of their grade. And so
I'm going to underscore that part, because it's ridiculous that one test is 70% of the grade. It doesn't matter. And that's such a hard message to get across to parents. Mm-hmm. And grades, they are in our country. It ends up being linked to, can you get a scholarship? Can you mm-hmm. get into this college?
I understand
why parents care about it, but in the long run, it doesn't matter what your kid got on that test.
Well, but the thing, and going back to this family, is this boy tried, you know, he worked so hard on this project. He is not a test taker. He's got a 504. And he's taken a test on a screen. They won't even print out the test for him to be paper and pencil test. And I mean, how many of us as adults could parse out the, you know, different answers to multiple choice on a screen of a subject that maybe you don't even really care about? Mm-hmm. And so not only are the parents upset, but the kid's demoralized. Yep. I did all this work, and now I'm
And for what?
Then as we explored this whole conversation, and listeners, I'm going to guess this has come across your radar too, is the mom said, you know, I don't want to quote unquote, complain about the teacher, because then it's going to affect her relationship with my student, mm-hmm. with my child. And right. So, you know, that human dynamic comes in there too. And I mean, it's complicated, and, you know, there's no easy answers. Absolutely. But Tiffany, yeah, I think what you're saying about, like, at the end of, you know, out there 5 years from now, that test is not going to matter. But what is going to matter is how he feels about himself, how he feels about this system that is saying, you're not good enough, you're not capable. And the other place, I have to just say this, because the other piece of that puzzle was reaching out to the teachers. He's in middle school. So of course the mom's encouraging him, you know, reach out to your teachers and ask them questions. But he's so shy, you know, right. So shy, so immature. That's a huge thing to reach out to
a huge teacher.
That, guess what? He's never met in person. He's only right. met them online. Right. And the teacher's stance is, well, they have to come to me. He has to ask before I'll reach out to him. And that is messed up.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, it's expecting things of students. And also, I mean, another huge thing with all of this with all the virtual school is students are being expected. I mean, like, we work with a lot of families where the kids are still enrolled in their schools. And we've actually been fortunate enough to have direct communication with the schools, and our students don't even have to Zoom with the school anymore. They just Zoom with our tutors, and our tutors take their curriculum. And so we're able to make it much more efficient and a lot less of that. And we've taken on the role of communicating with a lot of the teachers. Sure. Mm. However, without that, right, we have a fourth grade boy who's expected to go onto Canvas or whatever platform, figure out how to work it, figure out how to pace their work mm-hmm. on their own, figure out how to work a planner, know how to like upload it onto the thing. And then it's like in five different classes. I mean, adults don't even know how to do that. It's like, how can you expect a fourth grade or fifth grade boy to understand how to have that like level of executive functioning. Mm-hmm. And when before, I mean, it's such a different landscape. So in my mind, the biggest mistake that schools made, and I mean, I don't want to like put down schools because I know a lot of them are trying their absolute
They're trying
best.
Mightily. Yes. Yeah. And hats off to really the educators are. Who are yeah. working through an impossible yeah. situation.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's like, but, and the educators, I really honestly like to separate from the institution yes. of schools. Mm-hmm. The educators are doing I mean, if there's yeah. any silver lining in this, I think that people have really started to respect our educators, which is just, in my opinion, just they're constantly overlooked. I think the schools tried to put school on Zoom, which just yes. didn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They just translated yep. it directly from the classroom. Yep. And it's like, mm-hmm. that doesn't really, that's not how we do it. When we do distance learning, it's not the same. I think we're seeing the repercussions of trying to, you know, simulate the exact same thing in school on Zoom.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I know that we like to have concrete takeaways and things you can do, and this is how you can fix it.
Right.
But I do think listeners realize listening to this, there aren't easy answers here because we are talking yeah. about a systemic problem. And just right. like there are systemic issues in our country that are affecting access to healthcare or affecting employment, there are opportunity, there are systemic issues in healthcare. And we as families are kind of at the mercy and working in a system that is not effective. It's not necessarily efficient. It's not acknowledging the reality for a lot of people. So the stress and strain that you are feeling and that your son is feeling, it's not you, it's not him. It's yeah. a system that is not supporting most of us mm-hmm. the way we need to be supported.
Yeah. Yeah, that's correct. I think, and you're totally right in the fact that I would love to give you five tips to make everything better. I mean, if to make your sons feel better about themselves, to make them more motivated in school, to make everything feel a little bit more manageable. But it's true. I mean, the fact of the matter is that there aren't five tips that are going to fix all of this. But if there's any type of takeaway that we can take from this, it's just to, I think, continue. I mean, positive reinforcement to continue to put the focus on the things that they're doing, quote unquote, right.
Yes.
To continue and, to, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Well, and to give them a break. It's okay. If they're stressed, you know what? We're taking a snow day today. We're just, yes. you know, I mean, these kids aren't even getting snow days in Portland because they can still be on Zoom. They yep. would have a snow day otherwise, but they're expected to be online today in the snow.
That sucks.
No. Yes, it
yes,
does.
Yes, it does suck. I just, this is really funny. Like just a friend of mine on Facebook just posted last night. We just got an email from the school saying that the kids will still be expected to be in virtual class tomorrow, even though it's a snow day. What are all the other parents doing out there? And I commented and I'm like, don't just let them have the day off.
Take a snow day.
Just take the day off.
Don't play in the snow.
Trust me, it's not gonna, they're gonna have much better memories as adults about this. It's not, they're gonna be just fine if you
highlight,
let them have the snow day. Yeah.
Right. And highlighting that is like your child's mental health comes before everything else. Or one mom commented that she's worried that her son's going to be behind when they go back to in-person school.
Yeah. And yeah, we get that a lot too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like behind what? All the kids are quote unquote going to be behind, or they're going to be where they are, and nothing that you can do right now is going to change that if his mental health is not in a good place. So really
absolutely
paying attention to that first and
you know
foremost.
And I can say too, if this sort of brings any peace to anyone's mind, is, you know, we're partnered with pretty elite college prep firm in New York City called Command Education. They focus on really getting kids into like these top tier schools. And even from their standpoint, look, and grades are important, of course, test scores are important, of course. However, their focus on working with kids is always this hook and personal narrative of what is your sort of knack outside of school. Yeah. What is your GPA from sixth grade to 12th grade? I mean, yes, of course that factors into it, but they constantly get kids into school that have gotten a couple C's here and there and things like that because their extracurricular activities are so strong and because of their passions outside of school are so focused. So mm-hmm. I hope that for the moms out there that are just like, how is my son ever going to get into college if the grades are so poor or something like that, or if he's not, doesn't have this 4.0 GPA, I can tell you from experience that is absolutely not the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And their passions outside of school are just as, if not more important than their grades, if we're talking just from like a logistical standpoint yeah. of getting into university as well.
How well-rounded you are. And mm-hmm. shout out to, I don't know if Jen, if you're going to say this, I'm looking at you like, are you going to say this? Shout out to trade schools. Shout out to community colleges.
Yep.
Shout out to those kids who are just simply not college material. That's okay too.
That's okay too.
It is. Not what I was going to say. Exactly. Okay. But what I was going to say, and this is what helped me, and it took me all these years of homeschooling. I homeschooled the kids for 7.5 years. It took me all these years of homeschooling to unlearn everything that I thought I knew about school and education and what's important, to realize that for my youngest son, for instance, the hours that he spends in the garage are at least, but probably more important to his overall development and his future than the hours that he spends in the classroom. Mm-hmm. For that particular yes. kid. And all of our kids are different. So my tip for parents is always take a deep breath and realize that this school stuff is not the be all and end all. And so you have to love and encourage the kid in front of you. Mm-hmm. Give him what yes. he needs. Focus on his mental health and yours, Janet. Like, I am all for the kids getting a day off and a mental health day when mom needs it too.
Right. Absolutely. No, it's true. I mean, it's like we're in this, it's crazy because everyone's so burnt out. Even it's like we're burnt out and we haven't been able to leave our homes.
Right.
It's like weird. Yeah. It's like a weird burnt out.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it is, mental health affects everything in your life. So, that should come first. I mean, we want our kids to be happy, right?
Yeah.
Because then they'll find the things that they love. And like, I don't think, I'm not a mom yet, but I think that, you know, ultimately what mothers want is for their children to want to be happy, and not only that, but want to feel purposeful in their lives, mm-hmm. Whatever that purpose may be. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's what we need to encourage at the end of the day.
As you think over the array, you've been doing this, you've been working in this field for 6-7 years now. As you think over all of the students that you've had met and worked with over the years, is there anyone that stands out for you as, you know, maybe the one that was like, oh, I don't know if we're ever going to be able to, you know, engage them, or, and then they surprised you, or someone that really touched your heart along the way?
I had worked with this particular boy since he was in 9th grade, and he was just exceptionally unmotivated and really, not only did he not like school, it was just that he didn't like anything. I mean, he was just he's very unmotivated in general, and the mom was so not worried about school being, you know, she was like, you know what? I don't even really care about the school. She's like, I was homeschooling him. And she's like, what I would really like is for him to be involved in something. What we were able to do is we got through the homeschool, and then after he graduated, even still, he was just like, I don't know what I want to do. And I was like, well, what's cool? You know, I'm like, when you're laying in bed and you're YouTubing or something, or you're on Instagram, which, by the way, it's also really important for educators, I think, to like be modernizing the way that we talk to our kids a little bit more as well. Now we're in a pretty digital world, and I don't like to shun social media. I don't like to say Fortnite is stupid or things like that, because sometimes this is the way that we get to them, and this is the way that they open up. A lot of also the boys that we work with, literally Fortnite was their way of social interaction.
Yep.
And so I don't want to just say, oh, well, that, except for Fortnite. If that's the way that they do it, then that's the way that they do it. And so I'm using language that would apply to him, and saying, you know, so when you're like Instagram, when you're on your explore page, or when you're, you know, what do you click on, and what do you continue to scroll through on TikTok? Who's your favorite TikTok, you know, things like that. And he's like, well, I'm always looking at like randomly like architecture and like interior design things. And I was like, oh, I'm like, I wouldn't expect that out of you. And he was just like, yeah, he's like, I've been checking out this guy, and I'm checking out this guy, and I'm always just kind of like looking at stuff that he draws, and or sometimes I'll try and draw it too. And I was like, well, I'm like, have you thought about doing an internship with an artist or like a fashion designer or interior designer or something like that? And he was like, I don't even know where I would start. Like, who would I even look for? How would I even... I was like, well, let's do this together. And this was, after you graduate high school. So it's like the relationship turned from like teacher student to sort of like a mentoring type of thing. I was just, I was really just sort of trying to help him. I was like, you know, and he was also the same. He was like, I don't even know how to write an email. I wouldn't even know how to start this email. And so I sat down with him. I said, okay, well, let's write this email together and let's draft something. And then this way, all you need to do, like, you have a little template, and then you can just fill in the different information, just send it out. So we went through all, you know, we just basically like Googled interior designers in Los Angeles, reach out to Pacific Design Center, you know, places like that. And just reached out to a bunch of people until someone responded and said, hey, we are looking for an intern that can sort of help us around the studio. And he started interning with them and then assisting with them. And after I spoke to mom, you know, sort of like let him do his thing for a few months, checked in with mom, and mom was like, he's been consistently working with these people, and he's stuck with this consistently now for the past few months, and I've never seen him stick with anything. It's, you know, when you're working with kids, particularly boys like that, they just take an extra step of like you just really need to encourage that, because lots of times they just don't know where to start. And that's the hardest part, is getting started. I mean, really with anything.
It still can be for me.
right. Yeah. With this particular student, he just needed the confidence to be able to say, this is what I like, and this is how I can get started with it. And if you find yourself with a son who seems to be aloof or just generally uninterested in anything, really ask them these questions. Like, almost everyone's on Instagram these days or on some type of social media. Just be like, who do you follow? I mean, that's like a big question. Who do you follow on Instagram? If you're on TikTok, who are you watching on TikTok? What do you think is funny when you're on YouTube? What are your favorite shows? Because like that is something that they're like passionate about, and they don't even know that they're passionate about it.
Right. They can't, they haven't yet made that connection, and you can start to help connect the dots for them. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're stimulated by it, right? They're stimulated by watching this show, by looking at these like YouTube videos, and they don't even really know it. To them, they're just sort of like, oh, I don't know. I just think it's kind of cool. It's like, well, the fact that you think it's cool, like that means that you're interested in it.
Yeah.
And exactly. They just haven't made that connection.
My 15-year-old watches tons of snowmobiling videos and has connected with the snowmobile fixing, rebuilding community, like, and dirt biking. My 20-year-old, after the whole GameStop stock market mm-hmm. thing, he's been going down the rabbit hole and learning more about the stock market and stock market and stock market. And guess what, Janet? He's thinking about changing his major to finance right now.
Wow.
So what these kids finding and looking at online, sure, some of it's stupid. Some of what I look at is stupid. But they are also finding and feeding their interest. And so if we put this blanket, you know, stop wasting time on Snapchat, stop wasting time on Instagram, we might be missing out. We have to look holistically at our boys, find ways to help them thrive in spite of the system, even as we all work to overhaul it. Tiffany, thank you so much.
In spite of ourselves.
Yes. Yeah,
thank you. In spite of ourselves. I think it's, you know, just because you're not interested in it and your boys are interested in it, it's like, that's okay. Like, you know, we have to encourage them to find their own way, not our way.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Put a exclamation point behind that one, Tiffany. Thank you so much for joining us today. Tell our listeners where they can find out more and find you on all the things. And of course, we'll put it in our show notes as well.
So it is, our website is noveleducationgroup.com. And then our Instagram is just Novel Education Group. We're constantly posting about new enrichment programs that we design. We do custom curriculum for a lot of our students. And through that, we've been able to develop really, really cool enrichment programs. And so you can find our digital catalog online as well. And if you have any information in general, you can email info@noveleducationgroup.com. If you just even have any general questions, we're always happy to talk to people.
Awesome. What a service you're providing. Looking at education in a, dare I say it, novel way.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
I mean, that's exactly.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Thank you, guys. This is really great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us today at On Boys. And don't forget, vitamins for your kids. That's HayaHealth.com. And use the discount code On Boys. And also, if you're struggling in any way, you don't have to do it alone. Reach out to me for a complimentary breakthrough session. Just send me an email, Janet@BoysAlive, and say, help. And I will send you all the details for getting on my schedule for that. Meanwhile, if you like this podcast, if it's helpful, do tell a friend or share on social media. That helps us grow. And we appreciate you, our dear listeners.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.